Now we go over to the other side of the aisle for a conservative look back at this past Tuesday's midterms and their fallout. Day after the GOP landslide, on all levels, by the way, Barack Obama held a press conference, and if you were expecting a conciliatory statement of cooperation, yes again. Here with a look at the stand that Obama has taken for his final 2 years as the online editor of the Weekly Standard. He's also author of the book Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. Good morning, Daniel Halper. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And read Daniel's Weekly Standard work at weeklystandard.com. And, well, as I mentioned in the intro, Daniel, if we're looking for signs of cooperation, apparently the Oval Office's definition of cooperation is still my way or executive orders.
That's correct. I think many people might have tuned into the press conference thinking, oh, is Obama going to change? Did the election results alter his outlook? And the answer is no. He is not changing. He has not changed in the last 6 years, and he won't change for the last two. He is the same old president of the United States. He has said that he will try to find common ground insofar as when Congress can agree with him on things, they should pass things and send them to his desk. Otherwise, there is no common ground to find. And when they can't find that, he'll just sign executive orders, as he might do before the end of the year in regards to immigration.
And plus, he also has the ability to name czars and do recess appointments, too.
That's correct. But, you know, the Republicans are now different. I'd say they're at a different place themselves. They do have a little more power with the Senate. They can block various nominations, or at least the threat of blocking nominations to various federal appointments makes Obama perhaps want to look for people that they won't block. So that moderates that angle as well a little bit. And I think the Republicans are at a better angle to do investigations of president, and also, more importantly, to just draw a contrast with president's policies. They can pass budgets, they can pass laws, and force Obama to say yes and sign the bill, or say no and not sign the bill. And at the very least, we will understand better what the Republicans have to offer and where these two parties might differ for the future.
You mentioned Obama's appointments. How much will the Democrats desire to have that one vote, 51 votes needed for approval of a nominee, how much of that is going to come back to bite them in the butt now?
Well, that's a good question. I think the Senator McConnell was asked about this, whether or not he was going to keep the so-called nuclear rule. He said it's a little hard to peel it back once it's on there. I don't think they'll quite use it as much as people might think. It doesn't really help them as much anyway, because they still need a presidential signature. But I think it gives Mitch McConnell another bargaining chip that he may use at his disposal, though it doesn't help them as much as it helped Harry Reid, because he could just bypass Republicans, get the 51 votes past the Senate, and send it right to the president's desk.
You mentioned McConnell. A lot of Republicans, especially conservatives, are upset by his stand so early in the game that there will be no government shutdown, with the argument being that's basically surrendering the powers of the purse to the executive branch, surrendering it by the and taking away from the legislative branch, mainly the House.
Well, I think what he means to say is that there will be no government shutdown due to the Senate, due to Congress. If the government shuts down, it's because they've passed bills that address the issues that need to keep the government open, and the president hasn't signed them. So he can only speak for himself in these situations, which I think he's doing. He's saying, we're not going to shut down the government. If we send the president a bill that he finds unacceptable, you know, we don't know whether he'll shut it down. So I think he's trying to set this up early so the Republicans are not blamed for a shutdown if it were to happen. But I don't think it doesn't mean that there won't be any shutdowns and there won't be acrimony between the Congress and the White House. I think there will be certainly acrimony. I don't know about shutdowns, but it will get interesting, and it will force President Obama's hand in a way that it hasn't been forced since he took office 6 years ago.
Yep, certainly the inevitable raising or the need to raise the debt ceiling will be one of those interesting battles to watch for. Talking with Daniel Halper from the Weekly Standard. He is also author of the book Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine, weeklystandard.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. There is a strong voice in both chambers now about launching a bill and passing a bill on both sides to repeal Obamacare, either partly or in its entirety, which certainly no one expects the president to sign, despite what he said at the press conference, hinting, well, this element, that element can be made better, I'd go for that. But is that still worthy for Congress to do, if only to get the weight of, for Republicans, especially to get the weight of Obamacare off of them and put it in its entirety on the Oval Office?
Well, I think it is probably, to again draw this contrast, I would be also surprised if it were only Republicans who would vote yes. Keep in mind, the Republicans who won in the Senate, all of them, ran against Obamacare. They ran in favor of repealing and replacing Obamacare. I think Democrats, a lot of them who voted for Obamacare, have lost since then, certainly the ones in hot seats. I think it's worth doing, again, to draw the line at some point. They should be more clever about it, so there's not, you know, a million votes just to do the same thing. It's a simple vote. They could take care of it in 5 minutes. I don't think it'd be sort of an obsession per se, just the vote. But I think Republicans need to do is they need to pass alternatives, right? So if they want to make progress in the debate, the next thing is creating a solution to healthcare that is not Obamacare. So if you're worried about government takeover, but you're also worried about the rising costs of healthcare in general, how are the Republicans going to resolve these problems? And I think having some sort of resolution, whether or not it ends up getting through, is the next step for this worthy debate.
It's safe to say that immigration reform is dead in Congress, but not dead in Obama's mind and heart. That's something you threaten with executive orders. Do you think the Democrats in the House and Senate are praying to that Obama does not do anything because it would damage anyone else who was next up for a re-election?
Yeah, I think it will be really tricky. I think they're in a little bit of a bind. I mean, the truth is that if Obama were serious about immigration, there is the one first step that everybody agrees on, which is securing the border. President Obama reportedly agrees on this, securing the border, but he wants the security border and then legalize everybody. The truth is not people aren't that far off from one another. You know, even the hard right is not that far off from the hard left. I don't think, and there aren't movements to round up all illegal aliens or illegal immigrants and push them either south or north of the border. I think there's different ways to do it. So it's not actually that hard of an issue, but I think by President Obama taking this unilateral approach instead of just securing the border and enforcing the current laws on the book and then going from there, what do we do with the people who are now in America, which I think you would actually find a lot more agreement on, I think it's just not the right way to do it, and I think it really rubs people the wrong way to go about doing it in this manner.
Wrapping up our time with Daniel Halper from the Weekly Standard, also author of Clinton Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine, weeklystandard.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And speaking of Clinton Inc., does the midterms give any idea, any hesitation, any cause to reflect for a Hillary 2016 campaign? Or if not that, at least the style by which you will campaign with?
Well, it wasn't a good election for Hillary Clinton. She campaigned pretty vigorously, as her and her supporters were pointing out right before the election. She, you know, made 45 campaign stops. She stopped multiple times for Allison Onnegan Grimes in Kentucky. She made. She even stopped for Martha Coakley, the Massachusetts Democratic gubernatorial hopeful. Those two lost, and in Kentucky, Allison Onnegan Grimes' case, it wasn't even close. So it's hard to make the case. You cannot make the case, I'd say, that Hillary Clinton was helpful in these elections. And so, therefore, it didn't really help her and might have slightly hurt her to a certain degree, though it would have hurt her more not to have been a part of it at all. But I don't think there's going to be a great rethinking. I think the Democrats, and you hear this in President Obama, I heard this in his press secretary, Josh Earnest, there's that feeling that the people who come to the polls during presidential campaigns are different than the people who come to the polls during midterm elections. And so I don't think it will cause a great rethink within Hillary Clinton or her camp about the 2016 prospects, because they don't see this electorate that voted so persuasively against President Obama, they don't see that as the same electorate come next time around.
Although if you look at the impact and coattail strength of what supposedly the fantasy race of Hillary versus Chris Christie, Christie had a much better rate of success on Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Christie had a great election. By contrast, the gubernatorial races that were up did very well for Republicans, much better than expected. I think a lot of political speak and a lot of who did well, who did not, has come down to expectations. The Democrats did worse than expected, therefore Hillary had a bad night, and Republicans in governor's races did better, and therefore Chris Christie had a better night.
He's the online editor of the Weekly Standard, author of the book Clinton Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. Daniel Halper, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks a lot.